Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed! What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Hello, friends. We are back with a new friend. Well, she is a new friend. New friend this year. Old friend now. We're old chums because she's already been here once before. But it's V. V came back to play this week. Hey, girl.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited for this week's topic.
So I am too, because it was hilarious how quickly this one was snapped up and how many people were in line behind you to talk about this. Like, you got there first, but then I had three other people be like, I want to talk about this. I'm like, nope, sorry, it's already been taken. And I'm not doing a four-part series on one person. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. There's no reason for it. So I feel like this is going to be a comprehensive episode.
Yes.
I talked about this in the episode I recorded it yesterday. You guys probably listened to it 2 weeks ago, assuming my backlog idea works. But I had put out a call of, this is some random stuff I've been thinking about talking about. And the first thing on the list was Oscar Isaac. Mm-hmm. And just like, there's no, this is just a nebulous idea of a person. Like, I found no fix. There's nothing for you guys to read this week. We'll talk about that in a second. But
There are fix.
Oh, did you bring some?
I have some bookmarked on my AO3 and I can pull them up.
Perfect. I found no fix. V took care of us for me. Thank you. But so I was like, yeah, let's talk about Oscar Isaac. Like, just, you know, thinking like, I like his face and his career. Let's see what happens. And within 2 seconds of me posting that, V was like, I call Oscar Isaac. And then I had an email from somebody, and then I had two more Tumblr, somebody had reblogged it saying, I want to talk about Oscar Isaac, and then somebody had messaged me within like 5 minutes. I was like, guys, I'm so sorry to disappoint, but this has already been claimed. Like, I didn't even know if the post had posted yet, and V was like, on it. So I was so excited to see that, because I wasn't sure if anybody else would be down for this. But why, what was it about that made you jump so quickly?
I love Oscar Isaac.
Okay.
He is wonderful. And I've spent the majority of the last 6 years now thinking about his face.
So. I mean, yeah, you're clearly an expert on the topic. So like, yeah, that's great. Okay, good. I'm glad I picked the expert to discuss this.
Yes. There is the terrible, I don't know, every once in a while I get alerted that somebody has posted something mean about me on one of the Anon memes, and one of the mean things that people have said is that I'm too obsessed with Oscar Isaac. And so
rude.
Yeah. Like, obviously everybody else is too, or you wouldn't notice that I liked his wife's posts on Instagram. Like, you have to also be following her and following me and liking the post to see that I liked the post.
Yeah. What were you doing at the devil's table, Goody?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it's so funny. That's such a weird thing, because I don't know anybody who isn't mildly in love with Oscar Isaac, like in the world.
Right. He's the internet's boyfriend.
Exactly. Sorry, my youngest cat, Darcy, aww, just tried to jump into a pretty full box that's pretty tall. She didn't make it. Aww. No, she's trying to pretend like it didn't happen. I saw it, girl. Yeah. Shake it off. Sorry, she's this. I don't know if you could tell. We're in a bit of a state of flux with with our packing situation. So everything's in chaos right now. But so Oscar Isaac is the internet's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I mean, even it's, I've not yet seen anybody work with him and not be in love with him. At right. least a little bit. So it's like he's everybody's real life boyfriend too.
Right. Yes. Yeah, he definitely seems to have just a genuine kindness and charm mm-hmm. that it seems like his coworkers all genuinely really enjoy being around him, which I feel like is kind of a badge of being like, it's okay to be obsessed with this person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
I don't feel like he's going to disappoint me. And I say that, like, with my fingers crossed, like, please don't disappoint me, Oscar Isaac. Please don't disappoint me.
That just made me think of, I went to see Tom Hanks. He came to Portland to talk about the book that he published a couple years ago.
Oh.
He did, like, a collection of short stories. And so I went and saw his discussion, and it was a Q&A, and one of the questions was, as one of the last good men in Hollywood who yeah. hasn't disappointed us so thoroughly yet, how do you feel? And he just like started shaking his head. He's like, you have no idea the pressure I'm under. It's like, every day I get up and I look at myself in the mirror and I say, Tom, one more day. Just one more day. We can do it. And that's where I feel like Oscar Isaac is headed. We're like,
yeah,
I don't want to put him on a pedestal because that's where everybody goes wrong. And everyone's like, no, he's flawless. He'll never do anything. I'm sure he'll say or do something someday. But right now, he's pretty great.
Right. Right. Yes. Like, I trust him not to be egregiously, like, criminally horrible.
Yeah.
And even that feels like, just cross my fingers, like, God, please. But
the bar is so low.
It's so low.
Like, can you just not be a rapist, please?
Exactly. Like,
I can forgive exactly. so much else, but could you just, like, not be a rapist? That would be so great.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, like, the Hollywood men that I trust are, like, him and Harry Styles. And right now that's like, and even that's that, two. And I feel like that's too many.
It's putting your faith in a few too many, I think.
Yeah. Ugh. But yeah, I think from the way that all of his coworkers have always talked about him, whether they're people who have been in the business way longer than him mm-hmm. or are like on their first project with him, seem to really like him and talk about how respectful he is of them and their time and their like mm-hmm. working environment. And I feel like he doesn't hold it against people who like haven't had to work as hard to get into the business as he has. Mm-hmm. And he also doesn't like make people feel weird who have been in it way longer, except for, is it Jessica Lange, who he talked about how he had a huge crush on his whole life. And then he got to work on a project with her. And I think the quote was, the whole time I just kept saying, 30 seconds, be cool for 30 seconds. Don't tell her you wrote her name in every font on your dad's first computer. I wrote your name in every font on my dad's first computer. First 30 seconds.
Oh, no. Oh.
Like, I just snorted
weird,
with delight.
What a weird first crush.
I know. I know.
Oh, God.
I apologize for snorting into the microphone with delight. I just love
all.
Him.
It's just a delightful thing. Just,
yeah.
No, that just reminded me of when I think it was when Sebastian Stan and Sharon Stone were both on James Corden together. And it was the most uncomfortable thing in the world because he clearly had such a crush on her and he was trying so hard to like be cool and like also impress her and flirt with her. And I was like, Seb, stop, you're embarrassing yourself. Like it was, it's cringy. Like you can look up that appearance. It is just like, oh, buddy, stop.
Yeah.
It's Sharon Stone. She's out of your league, Seb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
I'm sure 15-year-old Sebastian Stan was in love with her, but grown up needs to tone it down.
Right.
It was so cringy. But it is also nice to know that, you know, stars, they're just like us.
Exactly. They get celebrity crushes too. Yeah. 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, what? Okay, so when? Oh, sorry, go ahead. You were going to say
that. Oh, I was just going to say, I think part of what makes Oscar Isaac so lovable, too, is that he's not on social media. Mm. So you don't have to see all of his, you know, day-to-day fuck-ups that you have to see in all the people who are on social media.
Yeah.
Like, he's so... It feels like an old-fashioned celebrity crush where you have to wait for the magazine to come out to see the new picture and get the interview.
Yeah, and as it should be. I think famous people being on social media, it blurs that parasocial relationship line. And I think that, like, I don't want to know what my favorite people think.
Right.
Or do in their spare time. I don't need to know that. I'm not in their life. I mean, frankly, I'm such a hermit and such a self-involved asshole that I'm like, I don't really even need to know what the people I do know are thinking. Like, I don't really care. go on Twitter because I don't want to read people's minds. It's all in there.
Yes.
So I think that there's a level of mystique that should be maintained. If you're in the public eye, and don't be on social media because that's not anybody else's business what you're doing.
Right.
When you give us these things to enjoy as your job, then it's not like we're owed anything else. I mean, we're not owed anything, period, but like you don't have to give us anything else because everything he's given us as part of his job is just like.
Exactly.
Wonderful. All right. So when did you first encounter Mr. Oscar Isaac? What was your first impression?
Well, technically, the first time I would have seen him would have been when he was in Sucker Punch, but that movie is awful. So I did not walk away from it with any particular positive feelings about anything in that movie. Although I will say gifts from Sucker Punch work perfectly for making him Gomez Adams.
They do.
They do.
Yeah, it's true.
So then I next encountered him, obviously, with Star Wars when he was Poe Dameron. Mm-hmm. And I love Poe so much. He's my poor little meow meow. He's my Blorbo. I love him. And so loving Poe made me also start, you know, following interviews and stuff with Oscar. And obviously all of the promo for Star Wars, The Force Awakens was very heavily the actual trio, him, John, and Daisy.
What it was supposed to be.
So he was really delightful in all of those, and he was the more seasoned person in all of those interviews. Yeah. And you could tell sometimes he would kind of jump in when John or Daisy didn't know how to answer a question without giving away spoilers or didn't feel comfortable answering a question. Mm-hmm. He would jump in and say something kind of silly and funny and like take the attention onto himself. And I always like that person in a group interview. I always feel like that's the caretaking kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really nice to see that he was comfortable doing that and that they were comfortable enough with him to let him kind of do that and not feel like he was stepping on them or anything.
Right.
And the way that they both talked about him and working with him was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, you were both so excited to work with Oscar Isaac. Like, Carrie Fisher's in this movie, but you were excited to work with Oscar Isaac?
Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford, both in this movie, both huge deals. And they're like, yeah, but it's this new guy.
Right.
Who we want to work with.
Right. Right. And then I think the moment that I was finally like, oh no, I whispered, was
the italicized O moment.
Yes, exactly. when he and Carrie Fisher kissed on the mouth at either Star Wars Celebration or Comic-Con after The Force Awakens came out. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, ugh, they're both living my best life.
I don't know who I want to be more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was probably when I was like, oh, this isn't just about Poe anymore. This is about Oscar Isaac, too.
This has gone to that next level.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I just started watching a lot of really terrible movies for him because I love him, but most of his filmography is terrible.
Oh God. Is that not the case with
so many
of our faves?
It's really like... true. It's funny for my job. I work in news and we do a lot of entertainment news. And so, with the Oscars and with the Grammys and all these things, we do all these articles every day about like A-lister people. Mm-hmm. And I'm always surprised because everybody on our like A-list is not somebody that Tumblr cares about at all. But nobody that Tumblr cares about at all is on the A-list. And I'm like, this is so weird. Everybody I know is in love with like these people. Why aren't they on the A-list? And then I go and watch like almost any of their movies and I'm like, this is why.
This is why
they're not on the A-list. Because they make terrible movies. They're good in them, but they are terrible.
They're the best thing in a horrible movie, and that's not enough to get you on the A-list.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay, so the first time I saw him was in Ex Machina. When I had the thought of, oh, is that the kid from Addams Family Values, but all grown up? No. No, it isn't. I thought it was for like the whole time I was watching it. I was like, oh, wow, he got really hot. Like, he's really, really way hotter than I thought he was going to be as a child actor. And it's not the same person at all, because that actor who Oscar Isaac has said people mistake him for.
That's really funny.
Like, he's like, yeah, I get that a lot. Like, a lot of people think that I was him when we were kids. He's like, and I wasn't acting then. But that actor has grown up to look exactly like himself.
Right. I was going to say, he's on Numbers. He looks like him.
As a 45-year-old man.
Right.
So, no, that was wrong. But it was enough to like, who is this? And then, because I saw Ex Machina and A Most Violent Year kind of back to back. Like, they came out pretty close together, and I saw them within the same, and I was like, oh, it's the same guy. And A Most Violent Year is not a great movie. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
There's a lot of plot holes, and it looks good, and it has him and Jessica Chastain, who I love.
Yes.
And I love their friendship and their relationship. But I loved, you know, their chemistry and everything, but there's not a lot of good in that movie.
Mm-mm. No, it's beautiful looking in GIFs, and then that's about where it should have been. Like a silent movie.
A silent film. There is one I wish so hard that I had saved it, because I can't ever find it. It's not on Tumblr when I look for it. And I want to put it down every time. I want to use it every time somebody brings up Serpent Society for Captain America and how Civil War was not supposed to be a Captain America movie and how Robert Downey Jr. fucked all that up.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to have a whole like Steve and Bucky and Sam and Natasha finding each other movie and whatever.
Right.
And there's a GIF that I saw of Oscar Isaac from that movie going, "You stole from me." I just need to find it again.
Yeah.
I just need to find it again, because it's all I ever want to use to respond to that deep injustice that I will carry around with me forever.
Yep.
But yeah, that I was like, okay, I like his face and everything he's trying to do here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the surrounding work just doesn't do him or Jessica justice as far as right. I'm concerned. And then of course, you know, I don't know. I think if you can watch any of the new Star Wars and not be a little bit in love with Poe Dameron, that you have a piece of Voldemort living inside of you. I think everybody can agree with that. Like, you're a Horcrux.
You'd think that everybody could agree with that. And then you see the way that he is treated in every Reylo fic.
Oh, well.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, they definitely have a piece of Voldemort inside of them, but they don't think they do.
It's weird that people, I mean, this is ship dynamic in general, but it is odd to me because I am so far removed from the Reylo.
Yeah.
Nonsense. And you know, ship and let ship, we say as grownups. But the loudest, I don't want to say all Reylos, hashtag not all Reylos, but the loudest of the Reylo writers and shippers seem mm-hmm. to not think that that's okay. They seem to think that, like, ship and let ship exists for every other fandom except for Star Wars.
I mean, I am famously anti-Reylo. Like, most of Reylo has me specifically blocked because I do not stand for that nonsense. And one of the biggest reasons that I don't stand for that nonsense is that they always have Poe as the abusive ex-boyfriend or the campus rapist or something that's
no.
like, he literally is raped by Kylo Ren on screen in the movie. Why would you, no. do you not see what you're doing when you flip no. that dynamic? What are you doing?
And even if you wanted to, you know, not have him be a possible match for Rey, fine.
Right.
Because he's obviously in love with Finn.
I mean, yes, I'm a big OT3 shipper.
Okay, yeah,
and I really like Poe and Rey because in the novel of The Force Awakens, they're foreshadowed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, if you read the rough draft of what the third movie was, which you stole from me, also applies to the third movie. Poe and Rey are together in the third movie in the original draft that was written when Carrie was still alive.
Well, why did they change it? We don't know.
Because Reylos.
Wait, seriously?
Yes. No seriously. Because audience testing needed that deathbed kiss. And then he just keels over and dies. And it was amazing that he keeled over and died immediately.
Yeah, but like...
I definitely yelled boo in the theater.
Wow. That's disappointing.
It's so disappointing. Because Daisy and Oscar are so pretty.
That gets a you stole from me, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you're a gift maker. If you could make us that gif, I think we would get a lot of use out of it.
I
just
feel
saying.
Like, yeah. I will have to look into it. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's crazy to me when people misinterpret Poe also. Like, I uh-huh. think there's a lot of people who misinterpret him the same way they misinterpret Han, where okay. because he's a pilot and he wears a leather jacket, they think that he's cool. And
no.
it's like, no.
No.
Neither of these men are cool.
No.
Like, Poe's best friend is a baby droid. Like, his little baby. And he
is BB great.
He's so BB great. And Poe is just such a nerd. Like, in his comics, one of my favorite lines is he and his pilots have been trying to track this, like, I forget what they're trying to track, some dark energy thing. And they find themselves surrounded by this mysterious cult who are trying to protect a strange glowing egg, and they you know, all pull their weapons on Poe and his pilots, and Poe goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not here to hurt the egg. I like your egg." And so whenever I think of Poe, I just think of, "I like your egg." He's such a nerd.
He is a dweeb. I mean, he's so sweet and charming, but he's not cool. I don't know why anybody would think that. And I very much dislike that he is maligned in Reylofix. That is unnecessary.
It's upsetting entirely. And it's racist.
It is awful on a lot of counts. And also, like, I didn't watch. What one have I not watched? Any of them, I guess. I watched The Force Awakens. This is what happened. I watched The Force Awakens and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. But I watched it after the third one had come out. And everybody was like, "Oh, if you enjoyed The Force Awakens, just stop now. Just live in that happiness that you had."
Fair.
Finishing that. And then you'll save yourself the trauma.
I will say Poe is pretty great in the third one. Mm-hmm. The second one is horrific character assassination for everybody.
Wasn't that when they turned him into a drug runner or some shit? Like,
the third one is where they turned him into a drug runner. So other than that, which is also racist.
Yeah.
But he has some very charming, when the trio actually finally got to be together as a trio in the third one. It was really lovely.
Okay.
And like him finally getting to interact at length with Rey was really great, especially for my little shipper heart.
Yes.
And for the OT3 little shipper heart.
Mm-hmm.
And him getting to interact more with Finn was great because Rian Johnson's whole, "But I couldn't have Poe and Finn go on an adventure together in The Last Jedi because they get along and two people getting along isn't interesting."
Ugh.
Ugh. Ugh. Like, I mean, give me movies with people getting along.
I was gonna say,
love when they get along.
Don't set us up for the same goddamn thing to happen that happened in the other two trilogies of one goes off to be a Jedi and the other two stay back and fall in love with each other. Don't give me that shit if you're not going to follow through.
Right. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Happened twice before. You had the exact same shit ready to go and you just had to fucking ruin it. Yeah, no. Give me movies where people are friends. Give me movies where people get along because I'm sick of drama for drama's sake.
Mm-mm. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. But yeah, in the third one, there's also a lovely, like, this man's not cool moment where he and Finn and Rey are like traversing this underground cavern trying to escape from the Knights of Ren, and they come across a skeleton, and you just see it, and Poe just like reels back and goes, "That's bones. I don't like bones." And it's like, "Oh, honey, bones are usually a bad sign."
What a dweeb. I just think there's nothing to dislike.
No.
Even if you ship something else, like, you do not have to malign. Like, I ship Harry and Hermione forever. But when I don't read Harry Potter fix anymore, but when I used to, and people, I would read Harry and Hermione and they were like, "Oh, but we need to like make Ginny the worst character in the history of the world." I'm like, no, we don't need to do that.
Right.
We can just say, nope, they're not together anymore.
I mean, I think Reylos have to do it because logically Rey wouldn't get with Kylo.
I mean,
if Poe and Finn are good guys there.
Like there's,
they
there's,
have to make them worse than Kylo Ren.
But how?
Which is hard. Yeah. Like,
how?
He's a neo-Nazi school shooter rapist.
Oh, because he's a neo-Nazi child murderer rapist.
It's not great.
Yeah. With, you know, bad hair, frankly. I'll just say it. Greasy looking hair. I mean, alone.
Ironically, the fic that I'm going to recommend for this episode is Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver during their Juilliard days. And I have no fondness for Adam Driver. I think he is a dour and unpleasant man. but he is tall, so this one time I will allow it.
Yes, he has that going for him. That, yeah, that just makes me think of that me or that, you know, meme or whatever that was like, I see some, you know, some description on Tinder that's like, I'm 6'4", undiagnosed or unmedicated schizophrenic with, you know, 3 kids from 3 different women. And also I just got out of prison. She's like, my dumb ass is like, did you say 6'4"?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a cousin who's, she's 5'11" and that's pretty much where she's at with the dating pool. I just saw her recently and she was swiping through people to, you know, possibly match with on one of those sites. And her mom was like looking over her shoulder. She's like, wait, he's cute. He's cute. Why are you, what are you doing? She's like, nope, too short, too short, too short, too short. It's like, Jesus, Lil. And my aunt was like, her last boyfriend was 6'7". And she's like, Lily was like, I could wear every pair of heels that I owned. It was wonderful. Wow. She was like, he was an asshole and I stayed with him for way too long. Was like, it was really nice to be able to wear all my shoes.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's so, really funny.
So she'd be into it, I'm sure. She'd be like, well, he is very tall.
Before I publicly came out, I used to have a rule that I would only date men who were at least a foot taller than me. Mm-hmm. So they had to be at least 5'11". And so that was one of my like qualifiers of like, well, I'm sorry, I can't date you. You're just too short of a man. It's not that you're a man. It's that you're too short of a man.
I'm sorry. I'm just dying here thinking of like the confusion that must have brought me. I'm 5'9" and you're 4'11" and you're telling me I'm too short.
It's just a rule I have. Sorry, I have to respect myself.
I have standards. I'm sorry. It's not you. Yeah. It's me. But it is also kind of you because you don't meet them. Sorry.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Man. What was I going to say to you? So obviously we love Poe.
Yes.
But what has he ever, is there any other character that he's played that he has like really captured your heart the way that Poe did? Bad movies aside. I mean,
not captured my heart, but I do love Ex Machina. I mean, mm-hmm. I hate his character.
A horrific human being, but yeah.
But it's a really good movie.
It is.
On the podcast that I hosted for about a year and a half, I Met You on LJ, which is also a fandom podcast. Mm-hmm. We did an episode about Ex Machina comparing it to Xenon Girl of the 21st Century because they have shocking amounts in common.
Really?
Yes, they are the same movie, except one has adults.
Can you send me a link to that episode so that I can put it in the show notes?
Yes, I absolutely will. It is probably my favorite episode. And then I made the single greatest fan work that I have ever created, which was Oscar Isaac dancing in Ex Machina, but set to Supernova Girl. And it fits perfectly. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Make my heart go boom, 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 boom.
My supernova girl. Yeah, I mean, people don't respect Xenon Girl of the 21st Century the way that they really should for the work of art that it is.
It is, and it holds up. It's a great movie, and it's the same movie as Ex Machina.
I can't wait to listen to this. I mean, I'm with you. I'm on board. I could see it, I'm sure. I'm not as familiar with Xenon Girl of the 21st Century as I guess I should be.
Yeah. So that one is good. Man. And then he's so pretty in Triple Frontier. Terrible movie.
Is that? Okay, so I haven't seen that one, but that's with, he's with
Pablo Pascal. Just him and his friends. Yeah.
It's so just him and his buddies. Okay.
It's him, Pedro, Garrett Hedlund,
Pedro,
Charlie.
Jesus Christ.
Garrett Hedlund, Charlie Hunnam, and Ben Affleck.
Just all his pals.
Just all his pals in Hawaii for 3 weeks filming a movie. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a total vanity project. But Oscar wears really good jeans in it.
Well, you know, okay. Put it on the list.
There are some gift sets where every time he's going up a flight of stairs, they film him from behind. It is great.
I really do love the trend now we're starting to see. And we did see it in Winter Soldier. There are a couple camera angles where I'm like, you know that mostly it's going to be women watching this movie, don't you? Like, let's objectify the men a little bit. Like, there's a lot of camera angles that don't necessarily service the movie.
Right.
In any way. But it's like, well, thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for knowing exactly what we're watching this movie for.
I've noticed we're seeing it in Moon Knight. We are getting a lot of gratuitous butt shots in mm-hmm. Moon Knight.
We are, yes.
Which part of me wants to make a moon joke. But we're not quite there yet.
We're not there yet.
Perhaps by the end of the season.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, we are getting a lot of gratuitous butt in Moon Knight. And I am enjoying Moon Knight so far. I'm confused, but I'm on board. I'm enjoying watching it.
I'm confused. The problem for me mentally is, and I'm the only one that has this problem, is that because I've spent 3 years now writing my time travel, Steve Rogers and Darcy mm-hmm. Lewis gets stuck in the 70s. And because Steve is super uncreative, his alias is Stephen Grant. Oh. And so every time I see like all of these people now, like people are changing their URLs to Stephen Grant. And then like all his stuff is being like tagged. I'm like, why are you talking about my Steve? Why are you talking about 70s Steve? And I'm like, oh, it's this worst version of Oscar Isaac where he's such a loser.
Yeah.
That's not working for me. I mean, I've liked the first two episodes of Moon Knight so far. I like the second one a lot better.
Yeah.
Just because there was more Oscar Isaac being sexy and in charge.
Yes.
And not a bumbling idiot. But I like, first of all, I love anything with ancient Egypt and all the Egyptian gods and stuff. So I saw the thing and my husband Jared was like, you're telling me there's a Marvel series coming out with Oscar Isaac about Oscar Isaac and Egypt stuff and you aren't like salivating and champing at the bit to watch it? And I was like, I didn't know it was about Egypt stuff. Now I'm super into it.
Yeah.
When there was, I was like, kind of like, yeah, I like the first episode. Okay, whatever. And then the second episode, when Layla showed up, when I was like, okay, yeah, this is interesting. And like, okay, they guess they were married and now she's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And as you know, spoiler alert, I guess if nobody's throw that out there, if nobody's watching this yet, that's what happens in the second episode. But when they're fighting over the scarab or whatever, and Ethan Hawke is like, tell me where it is. And then in the reflection, you can see Mark. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't you say her name. Don't you bring her into this. And I was like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
He's like, don't you bring Layla into this. And I was like, okay. Okay. I can like this. I can ship this a little bit because clearly he's like still super sexy and protective of her. Okay. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, all right, cool. So now that he's back in charge of the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll be a little bit more into it.
I did crack up at that gift set that somebody captioned with, Khonshu says it's my turn in the meat suit. Yeah, that is basically the show.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. No, I loved when he did the whole like, What are we wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she said to summon a suit. I was like, yeah, the ceremonial robes of whatever. Right. Psycho Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. I like that line because Mark starts it by saying, oi, what are we wearing? And I've been so afraid that they were going to cut out all of the Jewish representation because Mark is mm-hmm. supposed to be Jewish and mm-hmm. the son of a rabbi. And I think they are cutting it out. But he said oi, so I'm going to count it as representation.
We got one.
We got one. Boy, what are we wearing?
Okay, so we have to talk about this now before I forget, because you had already brought it up, but when I had asked, when I sent her these questions, Shipper City, when I had sent these questions, I had said, what did you think of the first episode of Moon Knight? Obviously, we just talked about it, but V's response was, I like it, I'm confused, but it's certainly not the worst thing I've ever watched for Oscar Isaac, so meh. And yeah. So my follow-up question to that is, what is the worst thing you've ever watched for Oscar Isaac, and why is it Sucker Punch?
It's actually not Sucker Punch. It is worse than Sucker Punch.
What?
It is his professional debut his only television character project prior to Moon Knight.
Oh, no.
No, he did that one where he was... No, he's done a couple TV since then. But I think he was scarred off of TV for quite a while. When he was still at Juilliard, he made an episode of Law & Order Criminal Intent.
Oh, no.
And kind of playing Stephen Grant / Mark Spector. he was a very poor little meow meow college boy who had fallen under the sway of a voodoo priestess who was dosing his water bottles with lithium to make him be feeling like she was curing him of his depression, and then using that to make him believe in her so that he would kill people for her.
Oh.
And it is not a good episode of Law & Order.
Really?
Criminal Intent is already the worst Law & Order.
It is the worst of the worst, yeah.
It is unwatchable as an episode. I gift every single Oscar Isaac moment in it and then captioned them all as, I watched this so you don't have to. Here's every moment he's in the episode. Really not good. But I watched it and he was there.
Yep.
Sucker Punch also not good.
No.
And he's very creepy in it. Like he does a good job with what he was given in Sucker Punch.
Yes.
It's just that what he was given is so
is
gross.
Garbage. And yeah. It's gross. And it's not something I feel that Sucker Punch has zero rewatch value. I don't even know if I finished it, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
It was just the whole thing was gratuitous in my opinion. And I don't particularly love Zack Snyder to begin with. So,
right.
I was like, why am I watching this? Like, it was painful. I was like, this life is too short. Emily, turn this off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think, the only Zack Snyder thing that I've ever seen. So whenever I see people being like, oh, but the Zack Snyder cut of this other thing is so good. I'm like,
I promise it isn't.
Like, can it be?
Nope, I promise really? It is not. Yeah, he's just...
It'd be like if people were like, oh, but the Michael Bay cut. Like, really?
Really, you let that whole sentence balloon up in your mind, and then you were like, yep, this is good. Send it through.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Any Zack Snyder cut, I just think that man has not been told no enough.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like it's one of the biggest problems that I had with Sucker Punch, even outside of all of the obvious problems with Sucker Punch, is that nobody took an editorial hand to it. Like, it's easily an hour too long.
Yes.
And there's no connective tissue between any of the parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then you have the whole climax happen off screen.
Yeah.
Like, somebody editorial needed to be like, I get your vision. Let's make it actually happen. Because it's not.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but people don't tell him no enough. And they also, nobody seems to be able to get him to understand that every movie does not need 4 to 5 full-length music videos in it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, okay, an ironic use of a song is great in doses.
Right. Right.
But, you know, you don't need to do the whole thing. So I'm not a fan. But
yeah.
What are your thoughts on Annihilation?
I liked it.
Okay.
It was very different from the book.
Yes. Yes, it was.
For sure.
I love the books.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was different to the point where it's kind of one of those adaptations where I have to pretend like it's divorced from its source material mm-hmm. to be able to enjoy it.
Me too.
But I'm fine with doing that because I'm not like married to the books in the same way that I am with certain things that if right. they made an adaptation of them that wasn't faithful, I'd be like on the floor. But I think, you know, again, he did a good job with what he was given, especially considering he was filming it literally at the same time as The Last Jedi. Like he would film one and then go across the hall and film the other and then come back.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Which is just, it's also funny to me as a huge Star Wars fan that it's him and Padme and they're making out. It's Bo and Padme. That's so silly.
They don't belong in the same timeline.
Exactly. They're different generations. It is a movie that somebody that I know had a panic attack in the theater and had to leave during the part with I was going to call her Padme, Natalie Portman, and the shadow Natalie Portman.
Oh.
And yeah. just the weird, like, body horror, uh-huh.
yeah,
like, dissociation of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely not a movie that I would recommend to, like, everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's not a movie that I would necessarily recommend as, like, here's why I love Oscar Isaac.
No. This just happens to be, yeah, one of my favorite movies that he's in.
Yeah, it's definitely, of the movies that he is in, it's one of the better ones. Mm-hmm. And I like, it's weird, I like that he's not at all the focus of it, even though he is so much a like thrust of the plot line mm-hmm. for Natalie's character. I like that it is just the women doing this thing.
Well, I thought it was really cool when, I mean, the whole way that that movie came about and why I can divorce it so much from the book was that, the director's name is Alex Garland.
Yeah.
He said that he, you know, kind of came up with the idea for this movie and wrote the script based on basically the feelings that he had while he was reading the Southern Reach trilogy. And so I feel like it shouldn't even have the same title. Like it's really not the same canon. It's not the same story. But yeah, when I saw that Oscar Isaac was going to be part of it, I assumed that they were making the full trilogy and that because in the second book, there's a man who's super important. He's like the main character. I assumed that he was going to be him.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, that'd be cool if he was, I think the character's name's Control. But I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And then when I realized that they were making him the biologist's husband who had gone missing mm-hmm. prior and the reason that she, you know, she wanted to go and be part of this project. I just felt like that added so much depth, like mm-hmm. it being and like the performance that he gave in the flashbacks, especially, and like just the way that he was able to portray so much of their relationship and everything in these very short little bits. I was like, yeah. Oh, he was perfect for that part.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good at acting with his eyes. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that, as much as I love him as like Poe or in these more heroic roles, like when he does roles that I might not personally enjoy as much that are more serious, mm-hmm. I like roles that give him the opportunity to play a duality because he mm-hmm. is very good at showing that duality in his eyes. Yeah. And that is something we're getting with Moon Knight. Like Mark is very clearly a different person from Steven.
Right.
And it's all just you can see it in his way he's holding his face.
Yeah. And how he stands and how he moves. Yeah.
He's very good at that. And I felt like he was very good at that in Annihilation as well. You can mm-hmm. definitely see that it's not the husband anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Which like once you pick up on that is so chilling. It's mm-hmm. it's very well done. And I like the open-endedness of both yeah. Annihilation and Ex Machina. I think mm-hmm. it's obviously just an Alex Garland thing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm sure that Oscar will work with Alex Garland again. He is kind of his like muse, it seems like. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for whatever weird thing they come up with next.
Yeah. I do. This is not going to turn into an Annihilation podcast, I promise. But the thing that I, one of the things I love that I can't watch that movie now without thinking about is the bear. Mm. The team that did the CGI for that. Do you know about this?
I don't think so.
Okay, so the team that created the bear in Annihilation were also the team who made Paddington.
Oh, wow.
And so they had, obviously Paddington is named after the sweetest, most charming stop on the London,
yeah,
you know, tube line. And so they named the the Annihilation Bear after the worst stop. So his name is Homerton.
That's really
and
I just, funny.
Like, it really takes the fear and the terror out of the out of that horrific scene, which is awful. I mean, it yeah. is a very, very hard scene to watch. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now that every time I see it, I think like, oh, it's Homerton. Paddington's mean, scary older brother.
That's really funny. No, I didn't know that. That's really funny. It just makes me think of, related to Oscar Isaac, John Boyega. There's all the adorable pictures from behind the scenes when John Boyega was filming Attack the Block of uh-huh. him with the stuffed version of the alien. And he's like hugging it, like playing with its little teeth. And, like... I like when there's behind the scenes that make you less afraid.
Yes, definitely. It's so much easier. And yeah. it is nice when it's practical effects because they can actually like interact with them and it's not just, you know,
right.
a guy in a green suit.
Right. Although that's always kind of funny too.
Yeah. But okay, so since we are talking about, we already talked about movies that we did love, roles that he's already played, if you could cast him in anything, what would you want to see him in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, my immediate gut answer was I would want an actual Star Wars sequel trilogy that was like the way it was supposed to be. Right.
I would like a redo, please.
Right. Like, I would love to see all of the, because there's so much canon about Poe and like Poe's parents and the mm-hmm. way he grew up. And I would love to see any of that matter. Like, they really foreshadowed some stuff, obviously planning the trilogy when Carrie was alive and how it was supposed to go in yeah. into this final draft, that like they really foreshadowed some stuff that I wish had actually come to pass. Mm-hmm. What would I want to see him in? I would love to see him as a live action Gomez Adams.
Yes,
that's my number one. Yes. That's because he has so much fun doing the animated Gomez, and mm-hmm. he looks exactly like Gomez.
He does. He literally would just need to grow that sucker punch mustache back.
Exactly.
And it's there. And you know, I think that Jessica Chastain would make a fantastic Morticia Adams.
She would. She would.
She's statuesque and, you know, has that Angelica Huston pale
and mysterious
square yeah. face. Yeah, I think they would be perfect for that. So if they ever do it, I think if they cast yeah. anybody other than those two, I'd be like, really? Because you should get on Tumblr.
That's why I'm so upset about the Wednesday show that's coming out on Netflix. Like what? We don't need it, for one thing. It's Tim Burton, so we really don't need it.
This is not necessary.
Like, I love the Addams Family, but Tim Burton's going to Tim Burton it up, and that's not the point.
He is going to Tim Burton it up, and we don't need that.
It has its own aesthetic already. It doesn't need to be Tim Burtoned. Exactly. I made a GIF set years ago of the Addams Family Dynasty movie with Oscar mm-hmm. as Gomez, and I had Rinko Kikuchi as Morticia.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun to make, and mm-hmm. I think that would be my personal.
Yeah.
If I could have him be anything, I would have him be a live action Gomez. Because that's another horrible thing that I watched for him was both of the animated Addams Families.
Oh, God. That's how you know you're in deep, when you watch the stuff they do voice work for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also because it's the Addams Family and I love the Addams Family. I write a weird amount of Addams Family fic. But people keep asking for it, so I keep writing it.
You give the people what they ask for. It's not like you're out here just, you know, doing your own thing.
Right. But I'm definitely always picturing Oscar when I'm writing Gomez. Yeah. Yeah. And what else? I mean, it would be fun to see him do like a straight up 90s style rom-com. Like him and Lupita or somebody. Mm-hmm. Like just people who should get to be in a straight up 90s style rom-com. Mm-hmm. Like Hallmark movie style, but not on Hallmark.
But not Hallmarkified.
Right.
I was thinking about this too, and I was thinking either like, first of all, I think he would be an amazing Indiana Jones if
he could
just pretend that Shia LaBeouf never happened, as so many are willing to do.
Yes.
Because the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was the worst thing that ever happened to the Indiana Jones franchise.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, if we could just keep going with, you know, Indiana Jones as him.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just telling more stories. It doesn't have to be, you know,
a sequel or.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be Harrison Ford, you know, passing the torch. Just another story. Yeah.
Do it the way that they do James Bond. That's like it's just continued on.
Right. It's just more of his adventures. It's not, you know, the next chapter of his life. It's just another weird weekend that he had in the 40s before he went back to work on Monday.
Right. Right. With the co-eds having "I love you" written on their eyelids on Monday morning.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the best part of the franchise.
And then also, I'm just hungry for, and they don't make them anymore, which is upsetting, but the screwball buddy comedies of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want I don't want a 2020s comedy. I don't think most of them are all that good.
Right.
The Judd Apatowization of the comedy genre has really, really done a disservice as far as I'm concerned. But I'm talking like, I want to see them do something along the lines of like The Burbs, but with like Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal, and John Boyega.
Yes.
Like, I mean, just
Oscar and Pedro should get to just whatever they want to make together. Mm-hmm. I will watch. If they want to make a rom-com together, I will watch it. If they want to make a buddy comedy, I will watch it. Like,
don't just it like boys. If you just want to get together and play, that's fine. You don't have to do a stupid action movie that has no real discernible plot. Like, just go make a stupid comedy and don't let Judd Apatow anywhere fucking near it. Please.
Yeah.
I'm fucking begging you. Don't let him anywhere near it.
Fair.
I'm going to get canceled. Everybody loves Judd Apatow. Emily has no taste whatsoever. It's true. I don't. And I'll stand by that.
I think you are correct, so I will stand by you.
But something, just something like silly and weird that has no, I mean, I think TBH, betraying my own bias here, The Burbs is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, that's my comfort, homesick, like if I'm, you know, homesick from work, like that's my comfort movie. I put that on and it's just like, this is the dumbest thing. And nobody liked it when it came out. And it's like, it just brings me so much joy because I know everything about it. I know how they shot it and why it's like so low budget. They couldn't, they had to shoot it in sequence. Like they shot it on a back lot. Nobody wanted anything to do with it as far as like producing. So they had to like cobble together everything.
Oh,
it was like the little movie that could. it's so much heart. But yeah, something like silly like that, I think would be so much fun to watch because he's so fun to watch anyway. And I love like when you can tell people are just working with their friends.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's so much, it makes it so much more enjoyable because it's like, they must have had such a good time. For instance, the Expendables franchise, which never should have been a franchise ever. The Expendables are not good movies. I'm going to tell you that,
right,
listeners, if you're out there thinking that I think that that's high cinema. No, I know they're bad movies. OK, but I think it's very obvious that everybody involved with the first one had such a good goddamn time that every action star from the 80s called their agent and said, I want to do this. I want to I want to play. I want to use my old catchphrases. Like, I want to go play with, you know, Sylvester Stallone and Jason Statham, and then Bruce Willis got involved, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger came. Like, everybody from the 80s was like, no, I want to do that too. And they did. And they clearly had the best fucking time.
Right. And it's so like Ocean's 11 too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, like, they don't need to be good. They just need to be fun to watch.
Right.
And yeah, I think that the inherent charm of all three of those people, Oscar, Pedro, and John Boyega, would be chef's kiss.
Yes. I think that's actually one of the things that Oscar, I wish, made more projects that existed to be fun to watch, mm-hmm. because he does so many like highbrow projects that exist to be art, mm-hmm. that I respect that, but they're not fun to watch. And I am basic and like to watch stuff that's fun to watch.
Like, I think that there needs to be more of that, to be perfectly honest. I think that concept of like the audience wants to have fun.
Yeah.
Is getting lost in the storytelling these days, like when it comes to making movies. Like, people don't care if it's fun to watch. So like, but this is, you know, if I never see the words shockingly relevant.
Right. Or dark and gritty. Nobody wanted a dark and gritty Batman. We want Batman and all of the Robins.
We wanted the Bat Fam. Okay. That's what we fucking wanted. Nobody wanted a dark and gritty Anne of Green Gables, for fuck's sake, but that's what they gave us with Anne with an E. Like, how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dare you make Anne of Green Gables dark
and then
and
they
gritty.
Wonder why everybody likes Marvel so much. And it's like, because they're fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. Because it's
for
popcorn,
the most part.
For the moment.
They have some missteps.
I'll never, ever be able to do an episode without betraying some salt a little bit. We just bought a new Chromecast, and it now has like a menu where you can like scroll through your apps that you have. Mm. It's way too easy to just sit there and bap, 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 as opposed to just being on your phone doing the same thing.
Right.
But in the Chromecast, they had like Chloe Zhao's playlist or top picks or whatever. And she had put out her favorite movies, and Captain America Civil War was there, and her comment underneath was superheroes done right. And I was like, incorrect, Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally bullshit.
Yeah.
And my husband was walking past. He goes, how can it be bullshit to state a preference?
Well,
she's wrong.
She's the wrong opinion.
He is very supportive in most regards. Like, I was watching Winter Soldier one time, and he walked past as Steve was, you know, about to be killed by Bucky, and he says, you know, I'm with you till the end of the line.
Right.
Jared just goes, you lying ass bitch. Correct. He is a lying ass bitch.
He is a lying ass bitch. God damn. I've been on Pinterest so much lately, and everybody there is so pro Steggy ending. And all of the comments, like any Stucky will leave a comment about like, but he said until the end of the line. And they try to be like, well, but the end of the line doesn't have to mean until you die. And it's like, that's literally what it means.
Literally what it means.
Like, yes, it does.
Like, unless you're on the actual fucking train, yeah, that's right. What it means.
Right. They're like, well, Steve got off on his stop. And it's like, no, but he didn't. He took the train back to the beginning. You can't just do that.
Always, always, always be angry.
I'm still on my, like, but I think he's on the moon for real because Nick Fury is on the moon. Ergo, maybe. The dots, I've connected them. Rogers the musical is a clue.
You didn't connect shit. I've connected them.
Yeah. I'm very deep in my, but here's how Secret Invasion means we could still win.
I know. I'm like, but maybe. All of that bullshit where Chris Evans was like, no, I thought it was a great way to end Steve's story because Marvel has a sniper rifle pointed at my temple.
Exactly.
At all times. Like, I thought it made perfect sense. What are you talking about, guys?
They didn't hand me a rough draft in which Steve was the one to do the re-snap and then died in Bucky's arms. And then Robert Downey Jr. threw a shit fit about not getting the big hero moment.
Christ.
Ever since I found that out, I've been like frothing.
So bad.
You mean we could have had an ending that made sense?
You stole from me. See?
Yeah.
Three times we've used that in this conversation.
Yeah.
But no, I always think I'm like, maybe. All of that was subterfuge, and Marvel like actually has a really good idea of, and it could mean that they're playing this song at the end of Endgame when he was with Peggy is a hint that Steve Biden, who came back to give Sam the shield, is not really Steve. He's right. Red Skull Steve, and Steve is actually trapped in some sort of weird mirror multiverse because they were playing that song, and when they played that song in Winter
Loki.
Soldier. It meant
well, and when they played it again in Loki, when the multiverse was breaking, that was clearly a clue.
Oh my God, we have
I'm
cracked
just
the
saying,
code.
The dots connected them. I just and then Andrew Garfield being such a good liar about not being in Spider-Man is obviously also a clue.
Clearly,
Chris Evans is also a good liar.
He's also a good liar. He may be a 40-year-old fuckboy Disney adult, but he's also a great liar. And he is on board with all of this. And they were like, yeah, no, pretend like you're done. And then shoot a bunch of other movies so that everybody thinks that you're really done. But really, you'll be sneaking into the Marvel sets and you'll be filming stuff on the sly and nobody will know about it.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I'm breaking my own heart here. I know this.
I know this. I just keep thinking in like 10 years, he'll come back because for reasons that he hasn't won an Oscar yet in 10 years. And he'll come back and be like, I miss being Captain America.
Just realize that it's who he is. Okay, look.
Right.
You can be Captain America or you can try and win Oscars and not succeed.
Right. Exactly.
And you can make terrible choices and not succeed. I'm breaking my own heart here because I legit, like, it's not that I forget that I'm not in charge at Marvel. I know, obviously. You can see my apartment behind me. I'm pretty sure I know I'm not pulling down Marvel money. But I always think like, okay, but I have really good ideas. And if I mm-hmm. have these ideas, I'm super, super subtle and, you know, and down to earth and grounded about it too. But I'm like, I have these really great ideas. And I don't have to think too hard about them because they feel obvious to
right.
me. So I don't even think they're great ideas. I just think they're like, well, yeah, of course, obviously that would make the most sense.
Right.
So it would make sense for eventually these ideas to be played out.
Right.
Because I would think if I came to these conclusions, me, a schlub, a noob who knows nothing of the grand schemes, who doesn't even read the fucking comic books, could figure this out. Clearly, somebody with power could also do it.
Right.
And all I could think was like, wouldn't it have been wonderful? If I had been king of the world when Loki was still being written, everything would have happened as normal. they would have made that bullshit statement about, oh, what the Avengers did when they fucked with time was supposed to happen. Right. Shut your face. Like, you go back and you fucking prune people for, like, trying to win the lottery.
Right. Right.
And the Avengers fucking fuck with time in, like, irreversible, irreparable ways.
And you cannot tell me that Steve didn't, that they didn't create a million branches between, like, 2012, Steve now knows that Bucky is alive.
There's a
Steve out
there.
Tony had a heart attack.
There's a Steve out there that now also, not only does he think that Bucky's alive, but then Hydra thinks that he's in Hydra.
Is
part of their unit. And also dealing with the fact that now that Tony has a heart condition.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of shit going on. Oh. Like, so, okay. So anyway, all of that would have still happened. Fine. You want to keep sucking the ghost of that dick all that you want. Go for it. Whatever. But then at the very end, when Loki's running around like, oh, shit, I broke the universe. This is not good. And trying to, like, figure out what's going on in the multiverse, blah, blah, blah. He would still be back at the TVA and he would be walking down the hall and he would bump into somebody's shoulder and he's too frazzled. So he's like, sorry. Yeah. And the other guy's like, yeah, sorry. No problem. And then Loki keeps running down the hall and we see the guy walking toward the camera and it's Steve Rogers as a TVA agent because he would have been pruned within seconds. Are you kidding me?
They show us Peggy getting pruned in episode 2. They show us Peggy in the background.
In her, speaking of Paddington, we've come full circle, in her Paddington dress.
Exactly.
She's pruned.
Oh!
So, hello?
I mean, it's just one of those things where if they genuinely are throwing in all of these things as red herrings, that's being an asshole.
It is.
You know? And I don't want to think that they're assholes. I want to think that they're being clever writers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm determined to believe that they're not being an asshole.
I will do so many gymnastics. I will win a fucking gold medal for my floor routine of mental gymnastics that I have to do to maintain my status as somebody who loves these movies.
I know. Just call me Kate Bishop. I will do the gymnastics.
Do whatever I have to, okay? Yeah, the idea of like, are you even a Marvel fan if you don't hate it?
But no. I don't want to hate it. I don't want to hate it. I want to like the thing that I like.
I feel like, you know, my math teacher from eighth grade, you have so much potential. I just care about you enough. I want to see you reach it. And you're being such a slacking piece of dirt right now.
Right.
Could you stop and just grow to your full potential?
Right. Right. Just admit that it's like either shit or get off the pot, you know, like don't put in all these red herrings about Steve maybe still being alive if he's not going to be alive.
Don't write a whole fucking show about his best friends and never have them actually say where he is.
Right. Never even confirm whether he's alive or dead.
All they say is that he's gone and he's not on the moon.
But Nick Fury is on the moon.
Say he wasn't on the moon?
Did he say that he didn't fly? He said he didn't fly him choop-choop-choop to the moon. He didn't say he wasn't on the moon.
This is turning into like a Marx comedy. Like, well, I didn't say he wasn't on the moon. I said I didn't put him on the moon. I don't know if he's on the moon or not.
One time I shot Steve Rogers on the moon. How he got on the moon, I'll never know.
All right. So, since...
Anyway, Poe Dameron.
I was going to say, since we managed to completely derail our Oscar Isaac episode talking about, once again, how Endgame was stole from us and we were robbed. I do think it's all relevant because we can all sum this up with the gift that now that you now have to make because I can't do it. And we have so many uses for it.
Yes.
So tell me about these fics that you brought me.
So the main fic that I brought you, I would click, but you'd hear the clicking. It is a Juilliard. So I'm not positive whether Adam Driver and Oscar Isaac were actually at Juilliard at the same time. I think they were 1 year too far apart to have been there at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the fic is taking place where they were 1 year apart, not 2 years apart.
Okay.
And it is them after, I believe, a mask class where they have to wear full face masks and then do acting with partners. And obviously in The Force Awakens, Adam is in a full mask and Oscar is being tortured by him.
Yes.
And famously in real life, while they were filming it between takes, Adam leaned in and went, "Don't worry, buddy. It's just me under here, Adam." And it's like, yes, I know.
It's just me, Adam.
Yes. I'm aware. Thanks, buddy. But the fic is, it's like, it's just very charming, and Oscar is very charming in it. Let me pull up Oscar Isaac. And then there's also another one that is Oscar Isaac and Donald Gleason, who, of course, are in Ex Machina together, and then had the most delightful press tour of all time for Ex Machina, because by then they were, I think, both knew that they had been cast in Star Wars and couldn't talk about it yet.
Right.
But they were having so much fun with each other. And my favorite Oscar quote from that press tour is, "I love doing press with Donal because he's so fucking stupid." Which is kind of the premise of this fic. Right. So it is just the two of them realizing that they are in love while filming Star Wars. And how, like, their characters don't interact, but they spend all their time together on set because they already knew each other. And it's, I don't know, it's very cute. They're both just very charming little RPF.
Nice.
Fix. Yeah.
Well, send me those links so that I can include them. Yeah,
yes,
those. And
will
then
do.
The episode link for the Ex Machina.
Xenon.
Xenon. Similarities.
Yes, I shall.
Oh God. Oh, that's my favorite thing in the world. What was I gonna say to you? Oh, the thing that I saw most recently was that Oscar was giving Moon Knight spoilers, but in Spanish.
Oh, amazing.
And somebody was like, you're not supposed to do that, or like, aren't you gonna get in trouble? He was like, "No, I'm speaking in Spanish." He's like, "Nobody will know what I'm saying." He's like, "I can say it in Spanish. They won't know what I'm saying." Drag us, Oscar. I mean, I know a little bit of what you're saying. I know about 75% of what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned some Duolingo. Okay.
That's really fun. I also enjoyed him on, I think it was Stephen Colbert saying, no, we're going to say make love to Star Wars. Make love to Star Wars gently. Yeah.
Oh, he's such a menace.
He is a menace. He's a menace, and his wife is so cool.
I don't know anything about her. I know nothing about...
She's a documentary filmmaker who's been nominated for the Oscars.
Say, she's got to be pretty cool. And she's got to be the most secure in their relationship woman in the entire world. Because
for real.
If my husband was like Oscar Isaac is with Jessica Chastain on the red carpet, I would be like, "Hey, sir, problem."
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a jealous person at all, but
I think with enough for me to be like, I think with Oscar and Jessica, it's almost one of those, like, they knew each other when they were at Juilliard. And I feel like that's almost like when you knew somebody when you were in high school and it's just like, oh, I remember when you were younger.
Well, like, and like, they, like she said, like they've been legit, like, best friends for 20 years. Like they did all kinds of stuff together in college and then they've done all these other things together. But yeah, that, well, she said when they did Scenes from a Marriage, which I did not watch.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Because as we were saying before, I want to watch shows about people who like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. And then I had a bunch of people telling me I should watch, speaking of Adam Driver, I should watch A Marriage Story. And I was like, listen, I know what's going to happen in these stories. And if I wanted to experience somebody else's unhappy marriage, I would either remember my own childhood or I would go and visit any of my friends that I have who fucking hate their spouses and for some reason aren't getting divorced. And it's uncomfortable. It's not fun to be in that house. I can't imagine it would be fun to watch this on TV. Like,
right.
I don't know why people keep making movies about miserably married couples who are on the brink of divorce. But Jessica was saying, you know, when they were filming this and they were doing, you know, pre-production, everything, she was like, there was a level of familiarity of like, these people have known each other for as long as Oscar and I have known each other and they are best friends and they know everything about each other. She's like he and I are best friends and we know everything about each other. And she was like, but his character was so different that there was enough similarities in their relationship that I was having trouble kind of separating that. And so she said she changed his name in her phone to his character's name.
Oh, wow.
She's like, so that I could stop thinking of him when we were working together, I could stop thinking of him as Oscar and I could start thinking of him as Jonathan. She was like, because I couldn't, she's like, I was having so much trouble separating because we have such a strong, you know, friendship. Mm-hmm. I did think it was funny though that he knew there's a full frontal nude scene in that show, like him. Mm-hmm. And he obviously knew that he had been filmed not wearing any clothing, but he did not realize that all of it had made it into the shot. And he was like, he said, you know, they send you the daily, like you can watch it. He goes, but I was watching it on like a dark laptop. So I wasn't really like, oh yeah, hey, that's me, all of me right there. He's like, and then all of a sudden I was watching TV and I was like, wow, that's a big TV we got. All right there. Okay. But she had said like, if she's like, I'm totally comfortable with all the nudity that is in, like, you know, on my call sheet. She was like, but I think it should be equal.
Right.
So if you're going to show a part of my body, you should show a part of his too. And the director was like, yeah, okay. And they were doing the press together for that. And he was like, I'm sitting here like, he's like, just looking at her. And she's like, what? He's like, I'm the one being objectified here. And you're getting all the hard hitting questions. What is that about? And she was like, doesn't feel so good, is it? Huh?
Yeah.
She's like, why don't they ask you about what kind of shoes you're wearing? How about that? How you had to change your diet to fit into the costumes. He was like, I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I mean, I think part of what makes him so lovable now, just getting back into Oscar Isaac too, mm-hmm. is he seems to really walk the walk of being like a good feminist man. Mm-hmm. Like he seems to actually understand what he's talking about and understand what he, and I put so much of that down to his wife. Mm-hmm. And obviously like probably growing up with his mother and his sisters too, but I mm-hmm. think his wife in particular, like the documentaries that she makes are like about gender identity and about mm-hmm. you know, being an older woman who has aged out of like in the ballet career and like what do you do with your life now, and all these things that are like specifically gendered topics. And so one of the earliest interviews that I think Tumblr fell in love with Oscar Isaac for is the one where he raises his eyebrow and he goes, yeah, let's talk about gender identity. And And everybody was like, oh, he gets pegged.
I was going to say, of course, Tumblr ate that shit up. He probably did that for Tumblr specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Oh, he gets pegged.
It was like,
Tumblr.
And then you look at his wife, who's a head taller than him, and you're like, yeah, he does.
Yep.
They're so cool.
I also think that one of the peak Oscar Isaac outside of his career moments was the photo of him with Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like 11 feet tall and she's like holding him by his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a Renaissance painting.
Yes. Yes. That interview that the photo is from is also great because he's standing there and his head comes up to like her armpit. And so he just looks over at one point directly at her boobs and goes, where I'm standing, everything looks great.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in a great position. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Such a charmer.
Such a charmer.
All right. Well, we are coming up on our 90 minutes here. So I think we have thoroughly tapped this topic. I've had so much fun at our Oscar Isaac sleepover.
I'm just thinking about tapping Oscar Isaac now.
I mean, there it is. There it is. We can't beat that. So let's not try. Let's end on a high note. Well, thank you, V, so much. You guys will have these fix and also the amazing episode of I Met You on LJ that V is going to provide for us. And I'm very excited to experience all of that.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming back to play. You're always welcome. Anything you want to talk about, we can work up an episode. Obviously, this took all of 14 seconds worth of prep on my part, so I think we're in a good groove now. So everybody else, enjoy these offerings that we have for you. You know, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and until we meet again, get your shit together.